What up? Thank you for tuning into this latest episode here, where I am going to discuss the Cleveland Browns-Cincinnati Bengals game from Thursday Night Football. My name is Chris Asbrock, and as always, I'm your host, where I do my little Asbrock's Bengals thoughts, brought to you by Impact Sports Cincinnati. Well, it, my friends, was a frustrating game last night as the Cleveland Browns took care of the Cincinnati Bengals 35-30 in First Energy Stadium in Cleveland, Ohio. When you look at everything, this was a very, very, very frustrating game where the Bengals seemed to, last week against the Los Angeles Chargers, took a couple steps forward defensively, only to take 15 steps back this past game against the Browns and revert back to their 2019 form where they were just brutally gashed on defense. And it was a rough go of it for the Bengals. There was a couple bright spots, mainly the bright spot of Joe Burrow. Plain and simple, Joe Burrow, we have a star in the making here in Cincinnati. Our franchise quarterback, Joe Burrow, is plain and simple, he's the real deal. In two games, he's simply been fantastic. And granted, you know, you see some of the rookie mistakes. That's why I'm willing to say there's a lot more of the when I say fantastic, obviously, you know, the interception. He got sacked for a fumble last night. He's taken a couple sacks that he probably shouldn't have. But still, when you look at what we've seen so far in the total package of Joe Burrow, it's why I've been ranting and raving since August of last year that Joe Burrow needed to be our guy. And it's definitely playing out that way, as Joe Burrow is simply, he's as advertised. And, you know, that as a team, you got to feel good about it. Again, you know, it's something to be ecstatic about. If you look at Joe Burrow last night, he was 37-61, 316 yards. He was sacked three times for 31 yards. He did throw three touchdowns, no interceptions, a quarterback rating of 90.6, while his longest throw was 23 yards, and that was to C.J. Uzomah on the touchdown. Joe Mixon on the ground, 16 rushes for 46 yards. He averaged 2.9. His longest run was 9 yards. Joe Burrow, he ran it seven times. I wouldn't say really necessarily ran it in terms of play calls, but he ran for 19 yards, average of 2.7. Geo, 1 for 3. On 24 rushes, Bengals got 68 yards. That's an average of 2.8. Like I said, their longest was a 9-yard rush, which is, in terms, it's, you know, not what you want to see from a team that, you know, needed to get things going on the ground. Unfortunately, they could not do it. If you're able to check out my preview on feeltheimpactsports.com or impactsportscincinnati.wordpress.com, I mentioned in there that the key to the game was going to be won via the ground. And the Cleveland Browns have, well, the Bengals have Joe Mixon, who I truly believe is one of the best running backs in football. Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb are right there along with Joe Mixon, and they showed it last night. Combined yesterday, they ran for a total of 210 yards on 32 carries. Now, Nick Chubb was obviously the guy. He was the one to go. Rushed 22 times for 124 yards. That's an average of 5.6. Kareem Hunt, 10 for 86. Obviously, an average of 8.6. You look at the longest run for Nick Chubb, it was 26 yards. He ran for two touchdowns, while Kareem Hunt ran for a long of 33. Baker Mayfield ran three times for 5 yards. Again, this was not what you wanted to see from this Bengals defense. It was, I mean, if you look here, you look at these stats, the final team statistics here as I'm going through, like I said, I've got a bunch of stuff here from NFL, the game book from the NFL. You look at the Bengals only gave up 23 first downs compared to 30 that they had gained. Now, a lot of those might have been in so-called garbage time, but they got the job done. 14 of those first downs, 14 of those 23 were via the ground. Now, you know, you could say, well, it might have been, you know, short yardage, something like that. But regardless, give up 14 first downs on the ground, not what you want to see. The part that really upsets me is the Browns were 5 of 8 on third down. Now, there's a couple of things for that. That's a high, you know, to me, that's a high, you know, conversion rate. That's 63%. While, you know, they were only facing a third down 8 times in this game. The Bengals were 8 for 18 on third down. That's 44%. Not good. However, the Bengals, they now lead the league in fourth down conversions. They were 5 for 5 yesterday, while the Browns were 1 for 2. Now, that one was the one at the goal, basically the 1-inch line where the Bengals took over and then proceeded to get sacked and, you know, give them back the ball where they can punch it in the end zone. Net rushing yards, it was 215-68 again. Huge disparity, not what you want to see from this Bengals defense. Now, you know, it's total net yards. It was 434-353 in this game, which was, you know, again, Joe Burrow, 316 yards through the air. Great to see. That's what you, you know, that's what you want to see from your so-called franchise quarterback. Now, granted, like Troy Aikman said in the broadcast last night was, you throw 60-something times, you better be getting 300-something yards passing. Well, that's what happened. You know, he had an average of, let's see, I saw it somewhere. Now I've got, like I said, now I've got too much stuff out here and I can't find everything what I want. But, you know, this team here was, this was a very, very frustrating game. Now, granted, I had picked the Cleveland Browns to get the victory. I thought that the way the offensive line had played, I didn't feel I kind of felt that that was going to be the, I don't want to say the nail in the coffin for the Bengals in this game, but it was not going to help, and it didn't help. However, the way the defense played is what that is. That's really what, you know, what did the Bengals in, plain and simple. This was just a flat out abysmal performance from the defense. You look at some of the stats here in terms of, you know, final defensive statistics here. You had 25 total tackles, solo tackles, that is. There were 62 tackles in this game. Jesse Bates led the team with the 10 total, you know, 10 combined tackles. Josh Bynes with 8, Von Bell with 8. Jesse Bates had 3 solo tackles. So did Josh Bynes. DJ Reader had 3. William Jackson had 4. Mackenzie Alexander and Darius Phillips each with 2 there. But Jesse Bates was the only player with double-digit tackles. Well, that's your safety. And, you know, the problem there is the fact that, you know, a lot of those, you know, it seemed like they were in the run game where Kareem Hunt or Nick Chubb were breaking through in the second part of the, you know, of the defense, and that second level. And that's where, you know, this team, this is very, very frustrating to watch. Last night, as you saw, you know, the opening drive, the Bengals, I believe I've got the drive recap here. That first drive was, you know, something definitely to see. I mean, it ended up being a 15-play drive that went 41 yards and eclipsed 7 minutes and 47 seconds. Now, that is, you know, for an opening drive, you know, that's what you want to see on the road. Granted, you know, you didn't have a full stadium, but there was, you know, spattering of fans there, you know, making some noise. That's, you know, you could still hear everything that was going on. And for Joe Burrow and, you know, his first, you know, NFL game on the road, I felt he, you know, did an admirable job. And that's what we saw on that drive there. Like I said, a 15-play drive covered 41 yards. Now, on that drive, there was a couple, let's see where it was here, that I saw, you know, what I liked was the very first play, The very first play of the game, the Bengals went deep to AJ Green. Now, this has been something that we saw last week, and you see Joe Burrow and the way he attacks downfield. Now, the problem, I love the fact they're going for some of these shots because, you know, it shows some initiative, and you can definitely see when Joe Burrow's got time, the guy makes some great throws. I mean, just fantastic throws. Even on the run, I mean, if you remember the one play he made last night where he scrambled out to his right and he found T. Higgins on the sideline on the run, just a gorgeous throw, and threw it to only where T. Higgins can make that catch. That's what you want to see from your quarterback. I mean, that was a beautiful play. Now, you know, in terms of the pressures, it was definitely something that I'm trying to find and see the statistics here, not what I want to see. It's not helping me out here, but the way things played out in this game from the first drive all the way to the end, you saw, like I said, some, I don't want to say flashes of brilliance, but you could see, because you definitely didn't see it defensively. Because if you look at, the first drive of the Bengals was that 15-play drive that went 41 yards, ended in a field goal. The next drive ended in a punt where the Bengals ended up going 5 plays and ended up minus 5 yards on that drive. Then they get the touchdown drive where they go 6 plays, 51 yards, and that eclipsed a minute and 56 seconds. So the Bengals get the ball, move down the field relatively quick, and that's what, you know, culminates in the touchdown from Joe Burrow to CJ Uzama on that play there, which was great to see Joe Burrow with his first, NFL passing touchdown. And he looked great. Then you get another punt. So you got 2 punts and 3 drives. In your first 4 drives, you ended up with 10 points. Field goal, punt, touchdown, punt. So therefore, you're 10 points throughout your first 4 drives. And I mean, so, you know, I can live with that. Then you go, your final drive is you get another field goal here. So at the time, you're looking at, you know, a 13. You know, 13 points through your first 5 drives. Now, with that being the case, I would say that you would have expected maybe a little more out of some of these drives. But the second half is, you know, it's kind of how it, you know, it's kind of how it goes. You see the Browns, you know, start that second half off and go 13 plays, 79 yards, turn it over on downs. And then the very next drive, we fumble. And what was that? That ended up being 5 plays in, and we get a fumble there. And, you know, they get the ball at the 1-yard line, punching in for a touchdown. And it kind of seemed like we never had a shot, you know, kind of going into it. But one of the interesting stats that I had seen was, where was it? I got to find something to say. I got stuff all over the place. Here was an interesting stat regarding the amount of plays that were, you know, where a team played from behind. And that was the interesting thing to see. And unfortunately, I'm not finding it right now. I swear that some of these papers go away. But the Bengals, you know, they had just over 5 minutes where they were playing with the lead. The rest of the game, the Bengals were playing catch up. And, you know, you look at the Cleveland Browns, three of their first four drives ended in touchdowns. So you're looking at a 21-13 deficit going into the half because they just ended the half after the last drive there. And then, like I said, they get the turnover on downs where you think, okay, you know, here's a shot to really get back into it. But then they go up 28-13. So you're kind of like, well, you know, that's a little rough. The Bengals, they go down and get a field goal. So now it's 21 or 28-16. They're like, okay, let's see what happens here. They get the interception, drive down. The Bengals get an off the interception for 14 plays, 69 yards. And you know, that was a 14 play, 69 yard drive. However, 14 of that was, or there was 14 more, is a total net drive of 83 yards that culminated in a touchdown. And then this is the drive that I think really swung this, you know, as if anything else before didn't swing this game. This was really the nail in the coffin drive, where it's a drive that goes just 2 minutes. And that's, man, I mean, this one here, you get it within a score, you know, at this point, you're like, okay, you know, okay, we're, you know, right here, right back at it. And then it gets ugly here. So you're looking right now at a 28 to 23 game, and you're thinking, okay, here's our shot. You hold them defensively here. You know, by goodness, we got a shot at this game and making things happen. Well, again, the Cleveland Browns, they just continued to shove it down the Bengals' throat with, you know, it was, I mean, it was a very, very, very convincing drive that went six plays, 75 yards, and it ended up in a Kareem Hunt touchdown, and there was no doubt about what that was gonna, you know, what that was gonna entail. That was gonna entail the Cleveland Browns flexing their muscle and shoving it down the Bengals' throat, and that's what they did. Granted, the Cincinnati Bengals after that go 16 plays, 75 yards in 3 minutes and 12 seconds, and they scored a touchdown there with 43 seconds left in the game. So, unfortunately, they were unable to capitalize on the onside kick, and that's where it ends, 35-30. But overall, again, this was, you know, and looking at it, you know, I'm very, very, very disappointed on where the Bengals were defensively giving up. You know, you look at you held Baker Mayfield to 16 of 23 for 219 yards. He wasn't sacked. He was only pressured three times. So that's 2 games into the season. Bengals have yet to get a sack here, and that's a problem. That's a major, major problem. And his longest play, or his longest completion, was that 43-yard touchdown pass to Odell Beckham Jr. Other than that, Baker Mayfield, who I've said it, I was a big, big, big Baker Mayfield fan coming into this league. I thought he had that so-called it factor, but you know, Baker's 4-1 against the Bengals, and you know, 9-17 against the rest of the NFL. Well, maybe Baker Mayfield, I don't, you know, I'm kind of looking at it, I don't think he's that good. However, I did mention though in the preview going up to it that the Bengals had to apply pressure and force Baker Mayfield to be the Baker Mayfield the Bengals faced last season, the one that was chucking up five interceptions. Not the Baker Mayfield that the Bengals faced 2 years ago where he lit the Bengals up. Well, we found that that was going to be the Baker Mayfield that showed up because he looked solid. I mean, I got to give him props. Again, 16 to 23 for 219 yards. He did have the two touchdowns, and he did have the one pick where William Jackson did get the huge interception at the end or towards the end of the game in that first drive of the fourth quarter for the Browns, and really gave the Bengals a chance to make a major comeback in this game. And that's what we saw. But I'm going back to it. Again, this was a huge game for the Bengals defense. They had to come in and get the job done, and they just flat out did not do it, giving up a total net yards of 434 in this game. Again, this team's reverting back to the 2019 form. Now, granted, the Bengals went out and signed a lot of, you know, they brought in some free agents to try and, you know, shore up this defense. Now, granted, Geno Atkins is out. So is Mike Daniels, and Trey Waynes is out as well. But when you look at it, this team, the way they played last night, I mean, granted, I don't think, you know, a lot of people are saying that, you know, Geno Atkins would be the savior of this defense. Obviously, that's not going to be the case. But I can guarantee you one thing, they would not have been gashed last night like they were, you know, if Geno and Mike Daniels are in there as part of that defensive line rotation, I can guarantee it. They are not getting gashed like they did last night, to the tune of 210 yards from two running backs. That's not going to happen if Geno and Mike Daniels are in there, plain and simple. And I'm willing to, I'll die on that hill. Granted, do they win that game? I don't know. I think they very well could, because I feel that if the Bengals defense played hell even 5% better than what they did last night, I think they could come away with a victory in that game. Couple major takeaways. Again, right side of the offensive line, just absolutely brutal. Bobby Hart, you never know what you're going to get with Bobby Hart. There are plays where Bobby Hart looks absolutely, like I said, the human turnstile. But then he blocks, he goes in there, and you see him last week against Joey Bosa a couple times where he's doing a great job, and the play, comes to fruition. You see a nice positive play come from that. Well, last night you see a couple positive plays when Bobby Hart is taking care of Myles Garrett. So you're like, how in the world does this happen, consistently, where he's just getting beat? Fred Johnson stepped in at right guard for Xavier Suofilo. He was out. Apparently, Billy Price is injured as well, so that's why he didn't play last night. I mean, to me, it's like part of me kind of wanted to see Fred Johnson flip with Bobby Hart on that right side to see, to kind of, because Fred Johnson's a bigger guy. But overall, it's some of the plays that were made and some of the pressures that were sent on Joe Burrow. This poor guy is going to get, I mean, like everyone says, he's just going to get killed in the backfield unless things get shored up. And that's what has to happen. Plain and simple, this is 1,000% on Jim Turner. They got to get this figured out, and they got to get it figured out, as soon as possible, because you cannot continue to have your franchise quarterback running for his life every time he drops back in the pocket. It simply cannot happen. Because you see, when he has time to throw, my God, I mean, some of these plays are simply fantastic. And that's what we have to see, from the offensive line, is giving Joe Burrow time so he can make some of these great throws. Now, granted, the same situation happened, with the team last, well, great, it's great. I'm at my in-laws' house here and phone's ringing. You see the team, the way, they come out in the first half last year, they looked poor. They were a porous team, offensive line, but they stepped up towards the end and played relatively well moving down the stretch. So that's what we're seeing here. Hopefully it's going to come back to where they play a hell of a lot better now than what we saw, towards the end of last year. That's what we cannot afford to see. We can't afford to see it take a while for this, offensive line to pick it back up and get things going. You simply cannot have that. And at this point in time, it's kind of like, well, that's kind of what we're seeing. But this defense has to step up to complement the offense that just put up 30 points in a game where, like I said, Joe Burrow looked good. Plain and simple, he targeted nine guys. There's really nothing much more you can say about that. If you look at, like I said, he targeted nine. Only person not to have a reception in this game that was targeted was John Ross. Now, that's going to be another thing I'm going to touch on here is John Ross. Auden Tate, it has come out that apparently he is obviously not real happy with the way things kind of played out last night. He was a healthy scratch. Why? You look at John Ross, and you kind of get the vibe when you look at it that Joe Burrow has zero confidence in throwing to John Ross. I don't know if it's an effort thing or some or what it is, but John Ross, it doesn't seem like he looked like he gave zero effort in that pass across the middle. That you simply can't have that. You got to help out your quarterback there and make a play. Again, the pass in the end zone last week, felt he could have made a play, at least make an attempt on it. John Ross flat out has to get the job done, and he's not doing it. I understand he's a first round pick, but damn it, when he's not making plays and he's hurting the team, and you got a guy sitting on the bench that you scratched in Auden Tate, who is a freak athlete who has a huge catch radius, and you're gonna, you know, who has apparently been the so-called MVP of training camp moving forward and has a great rapport, you know, from what I've heard with Joe Burrow. You can't keep doing that and continue to put out the product you're doing and expect different results. It's just not gonna happen. And that's what you're seeing right now from this team. And again, they're seeming to tread water every single week by throwing out an offensive line that is porous and continuing to throw out John Ross, who was just simply not getting it done. I know, Nick. I know you're gonna listen to this, and you said you can't teach speed. You're right, you can. But you know, as I've always joked with you, I mean, it's, you know, sometimes, goodness gracious, he'll catch the tough ones, but he'll drop the easy ones. And you know, Joe Burrow only targeted him twice, and that was it. Everybody else had double-digit targets, or not double-digit, but they had more than the two targets. I mean, AJ Green was targeted 13 times, came away with only three receptions for a total of 29 yards. AJ Green is simply a shell of himself. It's not what you expect from this Bengals team. It's pretty rough. But you know, it's kind of, you know, it's not really what we want to see here. You know, simply you just have to get things done here. You know, if you're AJ Green, you signed the franchise tender, you're the top dog on this receiving core, make plays. Tyler Boyd's simply stepped up and been great. He was targeted 8 times. He hauled in 7 of those 8 for 72 yards, an average of 10.3. He did have a touchdown reception, and his longest was 17 yards. So, you know, overall, again, it was tough to watch. If you're a Bengals fan, it's just not what you want to see. But again, the positivity coming out of Joe Burrow is something that's that's something you definitely want to see there. Oh man, it's, you know, again, this is tough, but you know, again, lucky part is the Bengals have a mini, so-called mini bye this week. You know, you don't play for a couple days, or you wouldn't be playing, you know, like in the weekend, like the rest of the NFL is. So you have, like I said, you're off for the next couple of days, and then you have your following week off, as you would normally have before you play next Sunday on the road against the Philadelphia Eagles. So, Cincinnati Bengals fall to 0-2 again in a game that you kind of see very little positive and a lot more negatives coming out of this game, unfortunately, for this team. I am going to talk about some things that kind of wanted to see. You know, I put it out there on Twitter, like, you know, what kind of things do you want me to, you know, to discuss? One thing here, Nick Martin says Bobby Hart. Plain and simple, again, Bobby Hart. You know, what is it? You know, Jim Turner. Again, I say it's 100% on Jim Turner. It flat out is. Jim Turner, he's continuing to believe in his guys, but man, it's nice that you believe in it, but my God, you got to have some results coming from it. And that's not what we're seeing right now. Again, you see a couple of flashes of brilliance there from Bobby Hart, like I said, where he's throwing some really, you know, good plays in together, where he's taking care of a so-called Myles Garrett or Joey Bosa. But then the rest of it seems to completely, you know, fall apart. And that's another thing here. Bill B on Twitter. WTF is Jim Turner seen during practice that makes him believe the OL is okay? He's like, they're going to get Burrow killed. Turner and Lou Anarumo should be on scorching hot seats. You know, that's what I continuously ask myself, what's going on in practice that is showing, you know, that this O at the O line is, you know, good to go? Because obviously we're not seeing. You know, we're not seeing practice like they do, and you know, they're coaches for a reason, but there's got to be a reason. And it's not, you know, nothing's coming out here because it's not, you know, obviously the results in the field, you know, they speak for themselves. And you know, it's obviously it has not been pretty, plain and simple. You know, I think it's if things don't, you know, pick up here, you know, Lou Anarumo is going to be the guy that, you know, he's going to have to take the fall for this because, excuse me, this is his defense, plain and simple. And if this team doesn't pick it up, this is all on Lou Anarumo. I mean, the offensive line's on Jim Turner. So, you know, pretty soon, if this doesn't pick up, you are wasting some time here with Joe Burrow. And I'm not saying the Bengals were going to win the Super Bowl this year. No, I felt the Bengals could go anywhere from 6-10 to 9-7. There's the differentials there to where this team can make some plays and you know, win a couple games here and there that they're not expected to. After the end of this week, I felt that they would be at no worse 1-1. I didn't expect 0-2 going into these first two games against the Chargers and Browns. I didn't expect that. But, you know, you kind of see, like I said, you kind of see some things that make you shake your head. And again, continuously seeing Jim Turner and well, head coach Zach Taylor running out the same offensive line, that's a little puzzling to me. That's something I think that it has to get cleaned up fast. Otherwise, Joe Burrow is going to be spending the rest of the time, you know, this season on the sidelines injured. And that's the last thing you want. And, you know, so that's, you know, that's another thing there. You know, Matt Stahl goes, we're talking about Bobby Hart. He goes, more particularly, how many secrets of Zach Taylor does he know? He has to be blackmailing somebody. It's a pretty, you know, humorous tweet there on that, because it's simply, you know, you really wonder like what it is, because, you know, it just seems odd. But again, it's, you know, it's the Bengals, and that's kind of what we're, you know, I want to say we keep being accustomed to. It's not fun. But again, the positivity is there with Joe Burrow. Plain and simple, Joe Burrow has been, you know, a nice bright spot in this team. And it's going to continue to get better for Joe Burrow. The kid, the guy's got moxie, he's got swagger, and he makes plays. And he's got a beautiful touch on the football and a couple of those passes. So that's, again, something we want to see more often than not, and that's what we are seeing. So that's going to wrap it up. I've gone way too long on this one here. This has just been – I was kind of rambling on and on and on. So I kind of want to, you know, wrap it up here. But, again, it's been tough. But, you know, this team, there is some positivity, like I said, in this Bengals football team for, you know, Bengals fans to, you know, to be okay with it. It's going to get better. You know, I can promise you that. I still feel that 6-10 is a realistic, you know, expectation for this team. They're going to lose a lot of games that, you know, against good quality opponents that simply going to, you know, it's just not going to be pretty. And then that's something to expect. But with Joe Burrow, I truly feel that they're going to sneak a couple games in here and there. Sort of like the situation with the Chargers last week where they Joe Burrow gets them in a position to be in a good spot to get a game-winning kick or a game-winning touchdown, something like that. I still feel the Bengals are going to pull out a couple wins like that that you're not going to quite expect. And I feel that they could win six games this year moving forward. But that's going to be the most that I would predict right now as of what we've seen so far in these two games. That would mean the Bengals go 6-12 the remaining part of the year. Just kidding, not close. 6-8. I don't know how in the world I got 6-12. It's been a long day. No, but I mean they would go 6-8 the rest of the season. That's something I don't know if how realistic that is. Again, I still think they can make it happen though. But it's going to come back. Obviously, this mini bye week is going to be something that you're definitely going to – you're going to want – you want to see some hard work being done in the stadium for this team to get, you know, to get better as they move forward. Plain and simple, it has to happen. So, again, the Bengals fall to 0-2 on the season. Browns improve to 1-1. Stay tuned as next week – I will be back with another episode where I will talk about the Bengals and Eagles next week. And hopefully we'll see Joe Burrow and company get it done. But as of, you know, these next couple of games, you know, obviously things just got to get done. It's a pretty tough stretch coming up. You got the Eagles, you have the Ravens still, you know, uphill sledding pretty much, but we'll see what happens here. Next couple of days are going to be huge as the Bengals obviously have to get their defense improved, and hopefully they'll be able to get Geno back and Mike Daniels back here relatively soon to help shore up that defensive line. But again, as always, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Again, I rambled on way too long in this episode. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at @IamChrisAsbrock and at @ISCincy. Make sure you check out the website, impactsportscincinnati.wordpress.com. And for, as always, for all your fitness needs, make sure you check out fnxfit.com. That is fnxfit.com. And use the promo code BDiesel for 15% off. And if you do that, make sure it is on any product that is not a subscription product. Otherwise, that promo code will not work. So that is, again, fnxfit.com. And use the promo code BDiesel for 15% off your purchase. As always, thank you guys so much for your help and your support. And everyone have a fantastic and gorgeous rest of the weekend. And we will see you back next week. Take care, everybody.